Most illegal immigrants cross into our country along remote, unguarded sections of southwestern U.S.-Mexican border. They pay exorbitant fees to unscrupulous human smugglers, some of them, called coyotes, to guide them here. The journey's fraught with danger. Getting mugged or killed by drug runners is common, and dying from exposure to extreme elements. But some arrive by plane, bus, or train on temporary visas, like Jonathan Chavez's family.
I came here from Peru when I was 14 years old. I actually found that I was coming like 16 hours before I came. Like, I came home and my mom told me, we're leaving tomorrow, pack your stuff.
He was told it was a trip to visit family living in America using a six-month tourist visa.
When we overstayed, I was wondering what was going on, and that's when my parents told me that we were staying here undocumented. So I really had no idea until like 7 months later. It was kind of a surprise. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Back home in Peru, his family had struggled to make ends meet after his father was injured in a car wreck. So they wanted to start fresh in America. But a year later, his parents divorced.
My dad lives in New Orleans with his wife and with my sister as well. And now my mom is in Fort Lauderdale with her husband, who are both U.S. citizens. My dad's wife and my mom's husband, they're both U.S. citizens.
And Jonathan, he's still undocumented. He settled in Rogers, graduated high school, then applied to the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville, and was accepted without a social security number.
Yes, I was. That was kind of weird. I applied for it, and I just left that part blank, and I was just praying that God will do something about it, And I got accepted. So, and I had gotten a scholarship from the music department that pretty much paid for everything. So it was a huge blessing. It was really great. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Things were going really well for Jonathan, who's a music major, until he decided to take a trip to see his mom in Florida last winter. When he got off the bus in Fort Lauderdale, a Border Patrol officer asked him for his papers. When they discovered he had none, he was arrested by U.S. Customs and Immigration and detained for a month. Released on bond, he came home to Fayetteville to complete his university studies. He's very close to graduating. So the question is, will his deportation hearing, scheduled this November in Memphis, be dismissed because of the Obama administration's revised immigration policy to focus only on criminal aliens? Elizabeth Young is director of the University of Arkansas Law School Immigration Law Clinic. She says the policy is still too new.
So it's hard to say what's going to happen. I know there are a lot of cases that are pending that people have put forth, but we don't really know how it's going to be implemented yet.
But she is hearing a lot of criticism about the new policy, which some perceive as backdoor amnesty.
And it's not an amnesty. In criminal law, when you exercise prosecutorial discretion, you probably drop the charges or something along those lines. In immigration law, that's not what happens. They don't drop the charges as in just let them go, give them amnesty, they can stay here and have a status now. They still have no status. They're still, for the most part, on the radar screen. They will probably have to check in every once in a while, make sure that they keep their addresses updated. And then once the backlog in the immigration court systems gets caught up, they will be put into removal proceedings.
With regard to Jonathan Chavez's case, immigration officials in Memphis, our jurisdiction, have already started deportation proceedings against him, which Elizabeth Young says provides options. She and her immigration law clinic staff are assisting with this case.
Once you're in proceedings, you can apply for a host of different forms of relief that could potentially allow him to stay in the country. You know, both of his parents are here and have status, all of his family, actually, his siblings as well. So once he got put into proceedings, there are things that kind of got put into motion. And this prosecutorial discretion is hopefully something that will help individuals.
Because if his case is delayed, it could provide Jonathan Chavez more time to establish himself as a contributing citizen and accumulate even more character references. the outpouring of support for Jonathan during his detention in Florida, including from Chancellor David Gearhart at the University of Arkansas, he said, was overwhelming.
Thing in Florida when I was detained, like the chancellor was so great about it, like he even offered to go to my next court date or hearing if necessary. And the university was trying to get me to take classes through correspondence so I wouldn't lose my credit. So they were so amazing. I will be thankful forever for everything they tried to do in my behalf. And just like Dr. Gearhart and Dr. McMath and just everybody that met the chair of the music department, my teachers. Everything was from the main sister name, and my teachers were so great. I'm so thankful for them. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Jonathan Chavez is among an estimated 11 million unauthorized immigrants in the United States. Of those, more than three-quarters are Hispanic, one-fifth children under 18. In late September, nearly 3,000 undocumented immigrants were arrested around the country, all with criminal records, including 24 in Arkansas. That sweep was organized under the federal 287G and Secure Communities programs that sanction local law enforcement to work with federal agents. But a recent federal study found too many non-criminal undocumented immigrants, including young people like Jonathan, continue to be targeted. Making matters worse are new laws in Arizona and Alabama, which allow authorities to question and detain people they suspect of being undocumented and to check immigrant status of students in public schools. Ana Aguayo with the Northwest Arkansas Workers Justice Center in Springdale assists undocumented young people and adults.
Many students who I've talked to are babysitting. They're not falsifying documents, they're not applying for an actual job. They're doing very low-skill jobs that can help them get just small cash at the moment. So I've heard from babysitting, other people are doing a little bit of consultant work if they know how to do website development. Let's say that's what they're doing on their own. Other people have taken actions to do print or photo shoots for people, and they just try to be as innovative as possible without breaking the law.
Aguayo says undocumented students in particular face the most challenge because educated in American schools, they simply seek to excel.
It's very difficult, I have to be honest. When you're looking at someone who was brought here at a young age without their own consent, and they were brought here because their parents had moved to this country. And as they grow up into our education system, they realize, I don't have the same access to college opportunities. Even though they're working hard, taking advanced placement courses, doing community service, trying to show good character, good moral character as a community participants, but their doors are shut.
Under the proposed federal DREAM Act, undocumented students would be allowed to pay in-state tuition, be provided work visas, and placed on a path towards citizenship. But the measure failed in December in Congress, leaving millions of undocumented students in limbo, another world where they cannot legally work, drive a car, or seek educational financial aid. Margarita Solorzano is director of the Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas.
And that creates a lot of frustration, a lot of stress, a lot of depression sometimes, because these are sometimes 4.0 students or even above 4.0, and they cannot obtain scholarships. They cannot pay in-state tuition.
That's why her group provides scholarships to all immigrant students, no matter their status.
And we provide the opportunity. We give that incentive for them to continue being good students.
Like Jonathan Chavez, who turns out is a music scholar, a student of opera. He says if he's not deported, he'll graduate this spring, then pursue a master's degree at the Manhattan School of Music in New York City. And when he's finished there, he says he hopes to become a famous performer and philanthropist. He'll open up missions to help the poor. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Como Zagueu, eu quero subir o mais alto que eu puder, só pra te ver, olhar para ti e chamar sua atenção para mim. Eu preciso de ti, Senhor. Eu preciso de ti, ó Pai. Sou pequeno demais, me dá tua paz. Largo tudo pra te seguir. Entra na minha casa, entra na minha vida. Mexe com minha estrutura, sara todas as feridas. Me ensina a ter santidade. Quero amar somente a ti, porque o Senhor é meu bem maior. Faz milagre em mim. Mais alto que eu puder, só pra te ver, olhar para ti e chamar sua atenção para mim. Eu preciso de ti, Senhor. Eu preciso de ti, ó Pai. Sou pequeno demais, me dá tua paz. Largo tudo pra te seguir. Entra na minha casa, entra na minha vida. Mexe com minha estrutura, sara todas as feridas. Me ensina a ter santidade. Quero amar somente a ti, porque o Senhor é meu bem maior. Faz milagre em mim. Entra na minha casa, entra na minha vida. Mexe com minha estrutura, sara todas as feridas. Me ensina a ter santidade. Quero amar somente a ti, porque o Senhor é meu bem maior. Faz milagre em mim. Faz milagre em mim.